You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
That is Steppenwolf. This is the chef. Kim, what's going on? Happy 4th of July to you.
Happy 4th of July to everyone, and hello, Marines everywhere. And hello, Casey. My sister's listening in today from the Annapolis area.
Oh, really? You're going to get to see her then?
No, yeah.
Patrick's getting married in Annapolis on August 8th of next year.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. I was listening to you earlier.
You got
next
to. You're gonna
have, state.
You're gonna have to. You're gonna have to attend.
I was at your first son's wedding.
You hosted the rehearsal dinner, so you might not be able to do that next time. But you can. And then I'll get a chance to meet your sister.
Yes, you will,
Casey. Now is she older, or younger than you? She's younger, right?
She is younger, about 12 years younger, I think.
Oh, we have one of those. What about, so what's Casey like? Is she like
your wheelhouse?
is she like you?
She's a hottie, too.
Is she?
And she runs. I don't know that she'd like your treadmill in your bedroom, though.
No, it's in the living room.
The living room, that's even worse.
What do you mean? Like, what am I going to do? Put, like, a I didn't even know, like, a SETI? What's a SETI? I didn't even know what the fuck that is.
You do what I did. I put my exercise bike, my recumbent elliptical, in the bedroom.
Why?
Why not? I get up. I look at it. I say, get on it, fatso. And then I ride into the morning. Then I get off it, then I
go but you,
to the Y.
No, really. You, my big TV's, my smart TV is out in the living room, so that's what I do. I combine my show prep with, like, come on, man. Who am I entertaining in my living room anyway?
Yeah, no.
Like, come on.
The only thing you need that's nice is a made bed.
Yeah, I sleep in that thing.
All your entertaining goes on.
I don't know about that. Anybody who would look at that and, like, wrinkle their nose, like, oh, really? We're going to go there? Now, I have, like, a dining room that, I mean, is, like, a little hoity-toity.
Well, that's all you need.
Yeah, so I got, like, a dining area if you want to sit down and have crumpets, but come on. I don't know. What is a crumpet? You would know what that is.
Crumpet? It's like an English muffin.
Okay. All right, yeah. So if I were to have tea and crumpets, I'd do it in a dining room. But come on, man. Living room? I've never had a living room in my life. Like, what do you do? What goes on? We don't do living rooms anymore as a culture. Do you have a living room at your place? No.
I have kitchen, dining, living space.
It's a big L.
It's like a law.
Right. But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Like, separate living room where your mom has her best furniture and shit?
No. That's how it was.
My Aunt Millie had a living room. She still had plastic on her, like, she had plastic on her lamps and stuff like that.
I know that song.
Right?
Yeah.
Millie just turned 92 and still looks the same as she did when she was 40.
And still has the plastic on the furniture.
No, I think she took it off. But my aunt, no, my Aunt Millie's the best. She, Mildred Petrolli. And, yeah, she, for years, the highest, before she won an airplane, the highest she had ever been was the third floor of Macy's off the planet. My Uncle Jim used to say that. My Uncle Jim was funny in a very, very pedestrian kind of way. Like, he's the guy who would walk by you when you were combing your hair, and he'd say, hey, just go get in the car. Nobody looking at you. He'd say, what? What? Yeah, hey, you don't need to comb your hair. Nobody looking at you. Just go get in the car. Oh, my God. He was funny. He was the one. We had, when I graduated from college, my roommate, who's the father of my godson, who I went to the wedding at last weekend for in Tahoe.
Yes, and I got the picture. It's beautiful.
Tahoe, beautiful, man. Breathtaking beautiful. Breathtaking beautiful. So,
It is.
I forgot what I was saying. You sidetracked me. He's the father of the godson I went to, and what was I talking about before that?
Going to the wedding in Tahoe.
I know, but before I was going there, I was going to tell you a story.
You were talking about your living room and your big TV where you do all your prep work.
But how did I bring the guy from San Diego? How did he get him? Anyway, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Email. So, Mac, what did you do during the earthquake? I sat here, and I looked at the picture of my grandmother vibrating, and I looked around, and I thought, we're having an earthquake. And then it went on for maybe, it wasn't short, it wasn't like a 3 or 4 second thing. It went on for, I would say, between, 20 and 30 seconds, because it kept going. I was like, oh. And so, I looked at my animals, because I have two dogs. Because aren't animals supposed to sense that shit?
Well, they're supposed to be letting you know there's one coming.
Oh, Jack woke up, rolled over, licked his balls, and went back to sleep. I said, you're worthless, Jack. Joe was outside. He walked in and then laid down and went to sleep. I'm like, you two guys are loser dogs, man. You guys are supposed to be like yelping or something, warning the planet that, hey, there's something going on. So I sat here and earthquakes, you just kind of sit there and they rumble through and then you keep going. But I will say this.
Go ahead.
No, I said this earlier. When that stuff happens, go straight to Twitter, put in like hashtag earthquake, and watch all the funny shit that people post. Oh my God. It is hilarious, right? It's you could sit there and watch that dumbass stuff for, I only watched a minute or two of it, earthquakes, you just like watch them and then they rumble and then they leave. And unless you're right at the epicenter, and in that case,
I had a niece and her mom in Anaheim this past week.
Yeah.
And my niece was receiving, she was in a competition her presentation was on Alzheimer, and she had just lost her grandmother the week before, and she, Kasia Huckstra, she won first prize. She represented North Dakota, kids from all over the U.S. But when that earthquake hit, they went nuts. And I wish I would have had a camera watching them.
Kim, it makes no
sense. What should we do? What should we do?
Put your head between your legs, kiss your ass, and say goodbye. But here's the funny thing, and I remember this from being in college. I was in the stacks down in the basement of the library, big, masonry building, huge masonry library at the University of San Diego. I'm in the stacks, and we had a pretty good earthquake, and it started shaking the desk. It rumbled once, and I thought it was a friend, like, screwing with me, shaking the desk, found me and kind of in this little cubicle and started shaking it. And so I didn't even look up because I'm like, I'm not even going to give him the satisfaction of, you know. And so the shaking continued, and I looked around, and there was nobody there. And I was like, ooh. Uh-oh. And then then it started again, and I could hear people running above me in the main floor of the library. So I walked up there, and the chandeliers were swinging. But I saw a friend of mine, and he said, "You missed it." I said, "What? The earthquake?" He said, "No. The people that aren't from California let out of here like you can't believe. They were yelling and running." And but yeah, here's to me, Kim, the craziest part. Other people that come here, they're terrified of earthquakes. But they live, like, for instance, in North Dakota, tornadoes go through the states and the region, and they kill people all the time. Earthquakes don't.
That's right.
Earthquakes tend not to.
No. And the tornadoes, but when we have severe weather here, like 100 mile per hour winds or 40, 50 below zero, we just go about our business, like. So,
yeah, but people die.
What's
right?
the problem?
People die.
Yeah. You're darn right they do.
Oh, but you hear earthquakes. So what did you tell them to do? Did you give them a real good answer? Like, here's my good example.
I just said, just get outside.
Go to a bar.
Hope the earth doesn't swallow you.
Yeah. He said
that didn't help very much.
find a good outdoor bar.
Yeah.
How old's your niece?
She's 14. Kasia.
Wow. Yeah. How about that? Well, congratulations to her.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Since her grandma just passed away from Alzheimer's about a week before.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah, it did suck.
Here's an email. Mac, has the chef been in any earthquakes? Kim?
As a matter of fact, I was when I lived in California in the 60s. But
nobody could tell.
Nothing you could tell. Oh, yeah, that's an earthquake. So, and you get used to it when it happens. They were just little rumbles and aftershocks. But no 6.4s like you had down in L.A. yesterday or the big one that happened in Alaska. Back in the late 60s, I think it was.
Yeah, most of the time you
seven something.
Yeah, you don't notice them. You know, for instance, so we have, my family has this kind of group chat thing, right, on text messaging. So I'm sitting here right at my computer, and I just type in, earthquake! And Colleen, who was working, she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. I think she was working. But my ex-wife, the lovely Susan, she was working at a fireworks booth. She said, I didn't feel anything. I'm like, not supposed to be not supposed to be drinking when you're selling fireworks there. And then she said, says who? So yeah, she was outside. She didn't feel it. Anybody who was driving didn't feel it.
No.
Right? Catherine was on the toilet, said she felt it. So, anyway. Yeah, so that
everything. Oh, that would be.
Yeah, exactly. But the funny videos are people that are videotaping themselves, like, at the time, like, FaceTiming with somebody, and then all of a sudden their face goes, oh? Like, what? Like, I think we're having an earthquake. So, there's always funny stuff that happens. Because of earthquakes. And then there's not so funny stuff happens. Here's another email. Mac, what about the 45,000 gallons, is it, or barrels of Jim Beam whiskey that went up over the week?
It got burned up in a storage shed.
Yeah, that was.
I read about that. I'm saying that's a goddamn shame.
Not going to bother me, man. I'm not a whiskey guy. But for all you beer, for all you women, for all you Jim Beam people, stand by for stand by for your price to go up.
Yep, yep. Well, there's so many great bourbons out there now. Just like,
are you a bourbon guy?
That industry. Yeah, I like bourbon. I not as much anymore because I like rum right now. Rum and vodka are my two faves now.
Really? Rum and vodka?
Yes, not at the same time. But yeah, I like rum. And rum on the rocks with a slice of lemon, lime, or orange.
Rum on the rocks? That's pretty butch, man.
Well, bourbon is just on the rocks. Or if it's, you know, one of those $300-$500 bottle of bourbon, then I'll drink it with just one ice cube in it. And I don't have any of those, but my friend across the hall, Chad, who you know, has hundreds of bourbons. And he's got bourbons that he that are worth $6,000 a bottle that he collects and sells and stuff. But every once in a while, he'll pull out a real high-end bourbon, and he said, "You want a hit?" And he gives me about, two thimbles full and puts an ice cube in there because he drinks it just neat without anything.
Yeah.
But I like the ice cube and it dilutes it a little bit. It's strong as hell. You know, 100 proof, 110 proof, just some kick-ass stuff. But yeah, there's some very, and bourbons are very distinct now. Didn't used to be, first it was just Jack Daniel's Number 7.
That's right.
Or Old Forester. I used to drink Old Forester.
Whoa, that's butch.
Or Jim Beam. Or Old Granddad was another one I used to drink back in the day.
Ooh, that's pretty, so that was pretty, yeah, I've never been a brown liquor guy. I don't know why. I think that I didn't really, nobody taught me how to drink, honestly. And so so my experiences were drinking in college, which were, you know, drinking shots and things straight out of bottles that made me sick. And then I never recovered from that experience.
That's what happened to me with gin. I still to this day hate gin. My mother taught us, don't drink that brown liquor. Keep it clear and on the rocks. or with soda or water in it.
Hello.
But don't drink brown liquor. Of course I went right to the brown liquor. Because that's where all the flavor was, you know.
Oh, she was a smart woman, you know, because that was one of our problems that, was that we, like, somebody said at one point, like, well, you know, maybe we should use mixers more often. Like, mixers, like, I mean, it defeated, you know, you're just being young and stupid, but it, you know, like, I'm not, certainly not a tequila drinker, because of bad experiences with, you know, tequila goes down hard, comes up even harder. So I don't do a whole lot of tequila. I mean, I'll drink a margarita, you know, on occasion. But yeah, those experiences kind of cured me from hard liquors. But so I see people like Kim and I have a friend. He used to play in the NFL, Greg Lotus. He's a bourbon guy, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he likes it. They like their bourbon, so. But I've never acquired a taste for that. Never acquired a taste for coffee. Yeah, I had somebody ask me once if I was a Mormon. Mac, are you a Mormon? I'm like, no, I'm Catholic. I'm Catholic. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, go figure, man.
I didn't drink coffee until I was working in Italy.
Why'd you start drinking it?
Well, I was working a split shift at Mama Lola's.
Oh, that's good.
I worked the morning shift, taken a couple of hours off, came back for the night shift, which was till about 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's, they serve pizzas till about midnight. Wood fired and pasta and other stuff. But it's about 8 o'clock and I'm starting to drag. Mama Lola tells me to pick it up. I says, I'm whipped. She said, tells me to sit down, pulls a double shot of espresso, two shots of espresso, puts it in a glass in a full coffee cup, like a cappuccino cup.
Right.
And then it's about half full and then fills it up with Zambuca. And Zambuca is a licorice liqueur that's about 40 proof. So the two of them together, and she says, drink, just draw it back. And so I took a sip, and I said, this licorice coffee isn't so bad. So I hooked it down, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was still running. Got anything else for me to do? What's going on? Let's party.
Really?
It wired me like I'd never been wired.
So that was the
right now, as we're talking, I'm sipping an iced coffee with a little stevia in it and some milk.
So what kind of coffee do you drink? Are you a coffee snob now?
I have a French press. I'm sure some of your fans know what a French press is.
I don't.
And
when you don't have living room furniture, you don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Well, it's a glass, or mine is ceramic, cylinder, and it has a little, plunger on that you, put coffee in there, you heat up water, you pour the water over the coffee, then you put the plunger on and you let it sit there and seep, mix with the coffee, the hot water, and then, after about 4 or 5 minutes, you plunge it down and you have very strong coffee. And I'll do something like an Italian roast or a French roast or, Kenya or,
Kenya.
Strong. I like dark coffee beans. I like strong coffee.
You know what they say? Darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
That's true. And I got very close to the berry, and the juice was sweet.
Nice.
And
all right, I have a couple. Ask him about the volcano blowing in Port Townsend. Volcano blew.
Oh God!
Is that Mount St. Helens,
yes,
or is that a different one?
Mount St. Helens blew. It was, I can tell you exactly. It was a Sunday morning.
Does your sister? I know she's from Annapolis, but does she know that Mount St. Helens isn't in Port Townsend?
I think she was working for me when it blew.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure.
So she should know that.
She knew exactly. Oh no, I know where Casey was. Casey was married and living in Yakima, Washington, that fucker blew.
That's a dumb.
And yeah, but Yakima was in the flight pattern of the ash.
Oh, come on.
So
everything
Yakima
was. My grandmother
was covered with 6 inches of ash.
My grandmother was living in Wenatchee and sent me a little baggie of ashes. Michael, I thought you would like this. This is a bag of ashes. Yeah, no shit. My grandmother was the nicest woman. She was still into her 90s. She was writing me letters by hand when I was in Iraq. I ran across one of them. She had the neatest penmanship.
Cool.
Yeah, she lived in Wenatchee, which is in central Washington. And so,
I know where, well, it's right by Leavenworth,
right,
where I live.
Right in the lake.
22 miles from Leavenworth.
Whoa, listen to you. How'd you know that?
Yeah, because I lived in Leavenworth, and I used to shop in Wenatchee. In Wenatchee.
There you go.
But when Mount St. Helens blew up, it's 100 miles as the crow flies northwest of St. Helena, Port Townsend is.
Got it.
And I'm standing on the shelves, and it sounded like a sonic boom outside my window. And it, the whole building shook. And it, everything went quiet. It was like dead calm. It was the eeriest feeling. Afterwards, and then all of a sudden the news reports started to come in, Mount St. Helen blew, and that was that, and everybody went about their business.
Did you get, how much ash and soot did you get from that?
None.
None?
None.
Oh, you were out of the frag pan.
None. Right. Because the wind was blowing east, and it blew towards Yakima, towards the east, and so everything east was covered. It got in the, of course, into the atmosphere and went around the world, and a little bit of ash. I think it went south of us, but we got no direct ash in Port Townsend.
Wow. I got direct ash. My grandma sent it to me.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And then they started making, you know, glass vases and ashtrays and stuff. Ornaments.
Out of the
ash. Yeah.
What about the, my grandmother was famous, for making, tuna fish sandwiches that were delicious with Fritos and orange juice. That when we would go out and spend the weekend with her, that
no
would
way.
Be, yeah, we would have, we would eat outside on TV trays, on her little brick,
yeah.
on her little brick porch, and my grandmother, both my grandmothers were the nicest people you would ever meet. My mother's mother was called grandmother. My dad's mother was called grandma, and they were both wonderful, wonderful people. My grandma, Josephine Lane, she's first generation Californian, born in 1896 or something like that. Parents came over from Ireland, and my grandmother came from money, and she was the most finely dressed woman, dressed herself out of Nordstrom's before the world knew what Nordstrom was, when it was just a Pacific Northwest started in Seattle company. I knew what Nordstrom is because Margaret Forden, man, Margaret Metzger Forden, her family was involved in mining up in Alaska. They were tons of I didn't see any of it though. Could you also ask him about the night he ate the worm of two bottles of Mezcal?
That's my sister texting.
It's just somebody who doesn't know you wants to ask about your life history.
Well, my nickname after that was Don Dos Wormes Homes. and we
For the record, she was in Port Townsend. She wasn't in Yakima.
Oh, she wasn't. Okay.
Sorry. Oh, and she says the reason she mentioned it is because there were dogs barking at the doors before the volcano blew. So the dogs knew, unlike my dogs who lick their genitals when stuff happens, you guys had actual dogs that were warning you.
Yeah. We just thought they wanted some of my food.
Yeah. Oh, they love the smell of my food. The world's coming to an end, you stupid ass. They love my food. Another email. Mac, tuna is awesome, but the fried bologna beats tuna. You know what? When my grandmother made it, come on. And it was always tuna fish, Fritos, and orange juice. Always. It was a package deal. It was like, I'll have the number one. You didn't get it a la carte. You got the whole, you got the meal, and you were expected to eat the meal. My grandmother had something called, that she called the Clean Plate Club. Michael, oh, you remember the Clean Plate Club? Yes, I am, Grandma. I'll lick this thing if you want me to. No, that won't be necessary. Actually, I didn't say that. I would never be that forward with my grandmother. But, they had about an acre and a half in a place, a suburb of Sacramento called Carmichael, and we would go spend the night. She bought us a bow and arrow. She bought me and my sister Maureen, God rest her soul, bows and arrows. And we'd go out there, and they were rubber tipped with remember that? Suction tip arrow.
Yes.
Things you don't see in toy stores anymore. And then they had like the bullseye that you put on the wall. And then what was the first thing you did? You took those rubber tips off, right?
Yeah.
Took those rubber tips off and saw what kind of damage you could do. That's when toys were toys. The, fried bologna sandwich, though, that's legit, right? What do you put on your fried bologna sandwich?
I like to put a little, raw onion. Ooh. And maybe a piece of, melt some cheese on there. As a matter of fact,
what kind of cheese?
Not bologna, but a pickled pimento loaf.
What?
Which is like a bologna. And in that person's honor, when we were talking about bologna sandwiches the other day, I bought two pieces of pickled pimento, and it has pickles and pimentos, but it's basically a bologna. All right?
Right.
And I bought two pieces about a quarter of an inch thick, and those two pieces weighed about almost a half a pound. Or maybe a little less than that. But anyway, I take one, it's got to be thick, and then you fry it, put a wee bit of butter or oil in the pan, like about a half a teaspoon, and then just fry it on both sides, and then put it between two slices of bread, put mustard on it, and then onions, cheese, and then you're in the front row. Of course, I would melt my cheese once I flipped the bologna over.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want cold cheese on hot food.
Kind of messy, like though. I mean, you put a... Okay, so what kind of cheese?
American.
Yeah, that's what mine used to be. So, yeah, American cheese on fried bologna with mayonnaise, lettuce, mustard, and ketchup.
Yep. Well, I'm the same with you without the ketchup.
Yeah, you're a ketchup hater. Why?
I'm not a ketchup hater. It's just,
yeah, you are. You don't like ketchup.
I love ketchup.
No, you don't. I know you. You don't like ketchup. But I like ketchup. You don't.
Okay. However you want to call it.
Oh, you're going to be like...
I love ketchup.
You're going to be like that?
On hamburgers.
Hot dogs?
Not on hot dogs. See, that's a sacrilege.
I told you. Thank you, hater. So yeah, I put ketchup on my fried bologna sandwich and mayonnaise. No, you know the we had a lady that lived around the corner. Her name was Pearl Galbraith. She was friends with my mom and dad. And Pearl is a Hispanic lady from Yuba City, California.
Yeah.
And she used to make the best food. She could take like the bottom of your shoe and turn it into God. Oh, it would taste so good by the time she got done with it. And she would do it with corn, right? She would cook it in milk with a little bit of sugar and salt. Oh my God, it was to die for. And, I mean, all these things, you know, she would make enchiladas. She would make tacos. She would make, and this is, you know, she'd feed us lunch or something when I'd be over at their house.
Yeah.
And, but she made fried bologna sandwich, and they were like a delicacy. And that's how she made it. So I just replicated what she fed me. So.
Oh, God. Bologna is great. The bologna they serve in Italy, it's called mortadella.
Oh, my God.
And it has little flecks of lard, and some have peppercorn, crushed peppercorn in them, and some have pistachios in it, depending on what region you're eating mortadella. But that's their baloney. And you talk about the, some of them are regular, like baloney round. They're long. But some of them weigh about 40 pounds, 30 pounds, and they're maybe 18 inches across. And they're, and you go, you see it in the deli case and you go, oh, I gotta have a slice of that just because I want to see them take it out and put it on the meat slicer. Yeah, yeah. Mortadella. That's my very favorite, by the way.
The Italians, they take their bologna seriously.
Major.
And if you're not Italian, you say, oh, bologna, they look at you like you're stupid. Like, no.
Not at all.
Mortadella. This is like, and so I would goof on it. Oh, you mean we're going to have some polenco and some balacuca caduca?
I bet you did.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. It was like they treated you like you're an idiot because you didn't know about their bologna. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know about Italian bologna. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm like, get out of here with that garbage. The, here's an email. Mac, my mom was from Cleveland, Ohio. She put ketchup on grilled cheese. Cleveland is a working place, right? But yeah.
I've had ketchup on grilled cheese.
What? How do you not put it on a hot dog, but put it on a grilled cheese sandwich?
Oh, it's just, yeah.
No, come on. And I like ketchup.
I know you do. Mix ketchup and a little mayonnaise and dunk your grilled cheese in there.
That's white trash.
With a cup of,
hey, that's white trash. Hello. That's white trash Thousand Islands dressing right there.
That's right. Thank you very much.
I know that. Kathleen used to make that.
I love it.
We're out of salad dressing, Mom. No, we're not.
No, you're not. I can see her right now, Mac.
Hey, no, we're not. With her parliament in her left hand.
And the wine in the right hand.
And her Vin Rosé in her right.
Yep.
And over to the cupboard to grab the ketchup. We used to do Hunt's ketchup in our house and not Heinz. And then to the refrigerator to get the mayonnaise. Be one second. And boom. There you have it.
There you go. You've got it.
Exactly. No, you know, all those dishes that our moms used to make, I laugh about it. What was the other one that my grandmother, my grandmother would make, when she would make pies, she would make like homemade like lattice pies, like with the crust that is, you know, lattice across the top of the pie, not like just, you know, laid out like most people would do it. Yeah, she would do that kind of stuff. And she was an incredible cook. And, in fact, I think all the food that I eat today, is my grandmother's food. And she could cook. Margaret could cook. And she was nice. She was really nice. I remember asking her, I don't remember this, but my mom used to tell the story that, my grandmother was a very serious Catholic. And she never learned how to drive, and she ironed church linens and sang in the choir till she died. And she had a crucifix above her bed, and I was a little guy, and I said, could you lift me up to see God? And she was explaining to me how even if she lifted me up, that I still was not going to be able to see God, that God really didn't exist, you know, here on earth. And then my mom looks at her and says, he just wants to see the crucifix over the bed. Oh, okay. So, but she was nice. And like I said, I mean, she would write me, and I would use profanity around her, which she didn't like very much. But I would use it and be funny, yeah. And be funny with it. And she used to love that. And then I used to say, "Hi, Grandma." She's like, "Hi, Michael." I said, "This is your favorite grandson." She's like, "I know who it is." And so I would refer to myself, and I caused a little bit of shit because of it. Because people were like, my other cousins were like, "You're not her favorite grandkid?" I'm like, "Shut up, you know I am." And, oh yeah, some of them got pissed. And I would sign letters like that. your favorite grandson, Michael Franzen. So,
God, that's funny.
I know. She would like, well, you know that I have many favorites. I said, thou protest too much. I know the truth, Grandma. She would laugh, but yeah, no, I love the letters she wrote me when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, and she would tell me shit about Iraq and Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
Michael, do you know where you, I looked up where you are in my National Geographic, right? Before, you know, Google existed.
Yes.
Right? How, Kim, do you remember people that would have racks of National Geographic magazines? And that's how they would see the world.
We were one of those people.
Really?
Stacks of them.
Really?
Oh, God, remember when they used to send out the world maps and maps of certain places?
Yes.
I had them all over my wall in my bedroom. I loved them. I love National Geo.
Yeah, no, I mean, my grandmother, she was a member. I think at one point she nominated me, but my membership lapsed.
Uh-huh.
Here's an email. Mac, those National Geographics, I think I saw my first female breast in one of those. Africa were awesome.
That was great. That's how I saw my first breast too. That's before the Esquire centerfolds. You remember those?
No, that's before my time. Playboy was in existence when I got around to that stuff.
This is before Playboy.
But yeah, I know. No, that's how I probably did. Most of us, that's how we saw the first female breast we ever saw. Unless you walked in on your
mom.
That's
right.
But everybody was so... would have turned and ran around after they walked in and saw their mom. National Geographic, how funny. But she would tell me shit, like, I didn't know. And listen, here's funny. She had never been to Washington, D.C., and I'm stationed in Quantico in 1990, thereabouts, for about 3 years. So she calls me or wrote me and said, would you mind if I come visit you? And I said, are you shitting me, Grandma? You can come anytime you want. I would love. She said, well, I'll fly in, and I'd like to stay about 5 days, and these are the things I'd like to see. I said, look, I will take time off. So if you can fly in on like a Wednesday or Thursday, I will take 2 days off. I will take Friday and Monday off, and we'll go wherever you want to go. Okay. So now we're in D.C., and we're going towards the Capitol, and I can't remember what the name of the street is as you're headed towards the Capitol, if it's Constitution or something else. But we're going down that street, right? Capitol's on our left, and I can't remember where the hell we were going to. And we might have been going to tour the Capitol itself, back when it was completely open. And she's like, okay, now you're going to have to turn left here. And I said, Grandma, I live here. Come on. And she was right, and I was wrong. She'd never been there. She'd only seen it in National Geographic.
That's crazy.
I was so pissed. We took her to Mount Vernon. And she liked to lose her mind. She would gasp. Oh, when she would walk into the different rooms and she would see all the things. Now, she had seen this stuff for decades in books, and now she was finally there. She was so, it was probably the best thing I ever did for my grandma was just to be her driver, her shitty driver, in Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C., because she knew where, and she would give
she
us.
She knew where to go.
Oh my God! And she'd give us a class on. She'd give us a class on it.
How much fun was that for you?
Oh, it was. No, you know, and again, you know, all the stuff you learn from your grandparents when you just sit and kind of shoot shit with them about life in Alaska, you know, or the way she grew up, and I mean, she was educated in a convent. And then she went to the University of Washington, and I think she was in her 20s, and my grandfather was like 35, so she would be in about 21. Yeah, and he was an accounting professor, and she married him. Yeah, no, yeah, no small amount of controversy there. So, yeah, John Vivian Forden, he was a weird dude. He used to row and do marathons in like 1920s and shit like that. So, big. He was a professor at the University of Washington, so he's a big Washington Huskies fan.
And, I bet he was.
Oh, yeah. Email. Hey, Mac, I have a food question for the chef. I made barbecue beef. Is that stuff safe to keep around for a few days? Should I freeze what's left over depending on how much I have? Does he have any advice on preserving barbecue beef? Kim?
Okay. It'll stay if you are finished with it and you keep it in the fridge and you can pull it out and portion it out and heat up whatever you're going to use that day.
Yeah.
It'll stay about 4 days, 5 days in the fridge. But personally, I'd take out what you're going to use for about 2 days, and then I'd individually cryovac it, put them in the Ziploc bags, and then like in about 1 pound portions, and then put them in a bigger Ziploc bag and throw them in the freezer.
Cryovac. That's like,
yeah, that's a Ziploc bag.
And freezing it,
and then you double bag them.
That's what
so
Ted,
you don't get
that's what,
freezer burn.
That's what Ted Williams' kid was trying to do with him, right?
Yeah,
right.
Cryogenics.
Yeah,
cryogenics.
Same thing, right?
They were trying. Yeah, same difference.
What a
shit.
But
yes, it'll hold up to 2-3 months in the freezer. And if inside the freezer you look at it and it starts to get little ice crystals in there, then use it up. And before you freeze it, try and get all the air out of it. Okay?
Is that the key thing?
That's just to keep it tight so you don't cause those air crystals.
Got it.
But yes, it'll
freeze. So if you have a lot of it, estimate what you can consume in a few days and keep that in the fridge. And
Then once it's refrigerated, portion it out and then freeze each portion separately so you don't have to thaw it all out and then re-thaw it, because that's no good. You don't want to do that.
That's what
you want to portion it out in 1-2 pound packets and then put it back in the freeze and keep them separate in the freezer.
Got it.
And they'll last a few months.
Got it. Another question. Hey, Mac, I have a question about oysters. How did he prepare his?
I just ate them raw.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, I love raw oysters. That's just my thing.
What do you do?
But if you want oysters, say you want to deep fry oysters, okay? You take them out. You roll them in a seasoned flour, then put them in an egg wash, and then throw them in your favorite breadcrumb, panko breadcrumb, or your own homemade breadcrumbs. They've got to be pretty fine. And then throw them in oil at 375 degrees.
Ooh.
Or 350 degrees. You want everything to crisp out on the outside, and then you make up your own tartar sauce or romelard sauce. We have romelard sauce on our menu on file. So you can look up how to do that. And that's what I prefer with fried oysters. Or you can, if you have oysters in the shell, you can throw, now you look at an oyster and you see a flat top. That's the top of the oyster. And then the bottom of the oyster will be kind of rounded. You want to put the rounded side directly on the grill under high heat. Okay? And they'll be on there a few minutes, and you have to use tongs. You have oven gloves on plus tongs. And you lay them all out, or you can put them on a sheet with a perforated hole. So you just have to pick up the handles, and then you can place that sheet right on the direct heat. I mean, that perforated basket kind of thing. And when the shell opens, they're ready to pull off and eat. And then you can use butter, drawn butter, or a cocktail sauce, and a squeeze of lemon, or just eat them when they open with a cocktail sauce and a squeeze of lemon, and you're in the front row.
All right, one more question.
One
more question, and I will let you go today.
I'm loving it,
Mac,
as long as you want.
When I go to the grocery store, my grocery store has a pretty extensive bakery. Is there any secret to buying a baguette? I really like French bread. I love French bread and good butter. But is there any way to tell simply by looking, by squeezing, what you're getting? Kim?
Well, if you have a chance to squeeze a baguette, it should be a crust on the outside and soft in the inside, and only buy baguettes that are made that day. End of discussion. You go into a grocery store that has a nice bakery, make sure, and sometimes they're in a little bag, a little paper bag with a plastic window in it, and one end is open. That's so it gets fresh air in there. You can squeeze those, but make sure it's a little crusty on the outside, and if it's the same day it's been baked, it'll be tender and perfect and fluffy inside, and then you want to lather it with butter and have at it.
There you have it. The all right, any big plans for the weekend?
Actually, we have my not really, just that my sister-in-law's funeral on Monday. That's about it. And
your sister-in-law
will be hanging out around here and doing family stuff. We got some people coming from out of town for the service, but otherwise, that's about it. And everybody, I would love to hear next week how the roll-ups turned out for the 4th of July picnic.
Anybody who made
that we did, yeah, last week. I'm curious about how those worked for everybody.
All right. Well, if anybody made them, we'll find out. All right, Kim, have a great
day. A couple of sides. I watched the Yankees from London the other day. Last week.
How about that?
That was really interesting. And they had a lot of people there. That first game was off the hook. Glad the Yankees won.
That's crazy.
17-13.
Yeah, the Yankees scored 6 runs in the top of the first inning. And then you're like, this game's over. Red Sox scored 6.
That's when I texted you.
Yeah, Red Sox scored 6 in the bottom of the first inning. You're like, what the hell is going on? And it went like that for a while. So, anyway. But the good guys won and the bad guys lost. So, that made me happy.
Yeah. How about you this weekend?
I think I'm riding this weekend. Yeah, I've got a...
I've got to, I've got to get back and finish, get writing on my book and finish that up.
Yeah.
So I've kind of, I'm going to have time this weekend, so I will do that.
Have we talked to, Dr. Phil yet?
My people are talking to Dr. Phil and so we'll see. We'll see. No, I mean, what Kim's talking to is, I mean, I have people that have seen the post-traumatic winning presentation that I do, and are fans of Dr. Phil. And they talk. Okay. They told me that, hey, Mac, you need to go on because what you do is so much more compelling than a lot of the people that he has on his program. I said, well, I'm not really a Dr. Phil person. And they were like, well, we are. I said, well, then do your job, man. Get me on that thing. And they're laughing.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So, anyway, so we'll see.
Well, I think
someday,
it'd be a
someday,
monster for you too.
Someday. No, the message is powerful, yeah. Right? And that is that, you know.
It's unbelievably powerful.
Yeah, hey, that trauma is not a dead end for you. That you may not know this, but, when traumatic things happen in your life, they can lead you to a greater place. But it's hard to get there if you don't have a guide. And so what we want to encourage you to do is be somebody else's trauma guide. And by changing somebody else's life, you'll certainly change your own. And so,
amen.
So, yeah. So it's again, that comes from the culture of, you know, the Marine Corps. It comes from the warrior culture of our country, and a lot of it passed down in very oral traditions. And so it's a cool message. So, and I love presenting it. So anyway, so we'll see. Keep your fingers crossed. Maybe someday.
Well, I'm so happy you're doing that book, Mac. I think it's going to save a lot of people.
Well, and here's the concept for the book is that it's going to be user friendly. It's only going to be about 120 pages, and it will fit inside of your cargo pocket. So it's not going to be, you know, War and Peace. It's going to be very pragmatic, the things that we talk about and how you, what you need to understand. And that anybody would pick it up and say, I'll knock this out in a day or two or maybe three. And so, so matter of fact style. So hopefully that's the concept of it. I just gotta write it and begin the process of refining what I write. So,
yeah.
So that's what I'm doing this
week. Well, you have a good weekend then.
All right, bud. Have a great one.
And I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. The one and only All Marine Radio Head Chef P. Kimball Holmes here on a Friday edition of this program. Another email. Earthquakes. I have to confess, I'm one of those people that is terrified of those things. And I never really thought about the number of tornadoes that roll through my neck of the woods and the comparative damage assessment. Maybe I should dial back my fear of earthquakes, because you are absolutely right. Here in the Midwest, tornadoes do kill, and they kill every year, and they often kill more people than we would care. Interesting. I hadn't quite thought about it like that. Yeah, in terms of numbers of people that are injured by weather, the Midwest, right? I would think the Midwest leads the nation in number of weather fatalities. Between the snow and the extreme temperatures that some the upper Midwest gets, the tornadoes that much of the Midwest gets, I'm not sure, but I would think that would be where most of the fatalities are. You know, earthquakes can, don't do it very often. And then otherwise, the weather in California pretty mild. I mean, it does get hot in the valley, but overall, on the East Coast, right, you have hurricanes on the Gulf Coast that get after people a little bit. And on the Southeast, well, all along the Eastern Coast, you tend to get them. more so in the southeast part of the country. But, yeah, that's just a fact of life when you live there. So, interesting. Here's another email. You discussing lunch with your grandmother made me think about lunch with mine. Mine used to love to make roast beef sandwiches for us. She made them with mayonnaise. They were always on wheat bread with a little bit of iceberg lettuce and a slice of Swiss cheese. Sitting on her porch, which was elevated from the front yard, with a little table, my sister and I and my grandmother. My grandmother always had one of those small beers. We lived in the Northwest. I believe it was Olympia beer in a little can. I hadn't thought about that in years. It puts a smile on my face just thinking about it. Me, my grandma, and my sister, we drank cherry Kool-Aid with ours and ate Lay's potato chips. What a cool memory. Grandmother's rock. Yeah, you know what? I should go find the letters that my grandmother wrote me. And, I mean, she'd always include a newspaper clipping, too. And something that she read. You might find this interesting. And she'd ask me questions about the Euphrates River. Michael, I know you're near the Euphrates River. Do you see it? Yep, Grandma. It's full of raw sewage, but it's really blue. And when it's hotter than shit here, you want to jump into it so bad. Just got to keep your mouth shut. Don't breathe underwater. Yeah, so she would, and I'll tell you what, it would make my day. I mean, when you're away like that, whenever you get mail, it's cool, right? Makes you happy that somebody took the time to write you. But you know, her distinct writing, right? And she never wrote her return address. She always had those little stamps that you, those stickers you put on, you know, Mrs. Margaret Forden, right? Wenatchee, Washington. With her address. And I wonder if she lived on Alpine Court. I wonder if that's true. I remember that well enough. Alpine Court. W-E-N-E-T-C-H. Wenatchee, Washington. Oh. Sunny Slope, Washington. I'll have to look. Anyway, no, I mean, for me, awesome memories, because both my grandmothers were just the nicest women in the world. That's her house right there. It is on Alpine Court. Holy shit. There it is. My grandma, Josephine Lane, who was born in Sacramento in 1890, whatever, she would she would give us money, and she would reach out and she'd give us a kiss when we were little, and she would give us a kiss, and when she gave us a kiss, she would like grab our hands, and she would have like a quarter, right, in her palm of her hand, and then when she grabbed our fingers, so our mom and dad wouldn't see, she would put the quarter in our hands from like underneath. So she'd go to grab our hands and she'd put a quarter in our hand. And she'd give you a kiss and she'd say, don't tell anybody I gave you that. And, yeah, I mean, my grandmother, Josephine Lane, she's the one that we went to parades with. When Ronald Reagan was president of California, and she did not like Ronald Reagan. And she didn't think that an actor being governor of the state of California was appropriate. She thought it was ridiculous. So we would be, I remember sitting on the curb, right? We put the blankets and the newspaper down. And she said, okay, when Ronald Reagan comes by, she didn't call him Governor Reagan. When Ronald Reagan comes by, we're all going to stick our tongues out, okay? We're like, okay, Grandma. And so, ready? Now! We all stuck our tongues out. Oh, my God. But she was the nicest. I had both my grandmothers were just wonderful, wonderful people. I remember cleaning a bathroom at a church hall with my grandmother when I was a little guy. And we'd had some kind of family event there. And she and I are cleaning the bathroom afterwards. And she looks at me and she says, Michael, remember this. I said, yes, Grandma. She said, always leave a place cleaner when you leave than when you got there, and you'll always be invited back. I mean, right? This stuff that our grandparents used to teach us from a bygone era. From a bygone era. And I remember sitting in a park with her when we landed on the moon. We were playing softball, and we stopped. And I don't know if it was the first time. I believe it was the first time. But but when I look up what day of the week it was when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, that was the first one, right? What day of the week was that? Oh, they landed on the moon. Did they walk on the moon the same day they landed? Launch date, return date, right? Landed the lunar module, Eagle, on July 20th, 1969. What day of the week was July 20th, 1969? That's the question. Because my recollection was we were playing softball at William Land Park, and and we stopped to listen. So we all gathered underneath a tree around a picnic table. And I wound up sitting next to my grandmother and Josephine Lane. And day of the week was a Sunday. So we were having a family picnic playing softball. And playing softball was a big deal in my family, right? That might have been the day my cousin Tom ran over his mother at first base. And my Uncle Jimmy's playing shortstop, right? Tommy might be 10 years old or 11. My Aunt Millie's, his mom, who's like, I talk about her in the first hour, all right? She's 92, just had a birthday, and still looks like she's in her 40s. Anyway, Millie's playing first base. And so he hits a ground ball to my uncle, his dad, playing shortstop, who catches it, and he kind of tosses it across the diamond to his wife, who's playing first base. Tom, the ball's kind of high, so Millie kind of reaches up for it, and she's standing on first base, right? What do you think Tommy does? He puts his head down and barrels into his mother. They go ass over tea kettle. He does a somersault, like she goes on her butt. He does a somersault over the top of her at a family picnic, and my Uncle Jim's yelling at him, God damn it, Tommy. And Tom, what do you think Tommy does? He's such a jackass, right? He's a little kid. He's a jackass of a little kid. So he stands up and he looks at his dad. So he stands up, and my dad was coaching for the Oakland A's. Tommy's wearing his Oakland A's uniform that he got someplace, right? So he's all fired up. So he stands up, and his dad's yelling at him, and he says, she was on the base. One of the funniest things I've ever heard that dumbass ever say. What? You cannot run your mother over at first base because you're trying to beat out an infield hit? Come on, man. So we stop the game, and we go down to the tree, and this thing's landing. And I believe, I should look at the moon phase now, but we're sitting there, and you can see the moon in the sky. And she looks, she says, Michael, to think that there's Americans on the moon is I cannot even believe that. She said, you know, when I was a little girl in this town, you know, there was horses and wagons in the streets. They used to light the lamps at night. You know, there'd be people that went down the street and they lit the kerosene lamps that lit the downtown. And she said, and then we got cars and then the streets got paved. And she said, but, you know, she said, your dad flies around the country to play baseball. She said, but to think that there's Americans on the moon, she said, I can't believe that. She thought it was the most wonderful and amazing thing and was so proud of the country. So proud of the country. So she used to make scrapbooks. She used to go get those big wallpaper books? Well, those stores would throw those out, their samples out. And so she would take those books. They're already bound. I mean, they're big. I don't know how big they were. Probably 3 feet by 3 feet, right? And those big, I mean, you go to a store and you turn these things. Anyway, she would get those, and she turned them into scrapbooks. And she would cut out, she used to cut out, like, she'd just, wherever my dad played, my grandmother would subscribe to the newspaper. And she would cut out the box score every day, you know, and the article out of the paper. So my dad's career unfolds in these scrapbooks. But she would always put current events in, too. So if it was something about the Kennedys, it would be in there. You know, something big happened in the news, it would be in there. But yeah, my grandmother, Josephine Lane. And my grandfather, who fought in World War I and was gassed, died evidently of complications of his gassing in World War I in 1945, I think. My dad was 13. And so she raised 5 kids, went to work at the California DMV in the late 40s, early 50s, I think, and worked there. My grandma would take the bus to work. But the nicest lady, two of the nicest ladies that God ever made, my grandmother. So anyway, yeah, with that said, have a great weekend. We'll be here on Monday. You're going to hear Jennifer Carrazzo on Monday. Jennifer is the founder and president of the Sugar Bear Foundation, which is her husband, call sign. He was killed, Mario Carrazzo, lieutenant colonel type, was killed in Afghanistan, was shot down, in 2010. And they've got a run coming up, and you can participate in it. So you're going to hear from Jennifer Carrazzo on Monday. Anyway, have a great weekend. On a Friday, All Marine Radio, over and out.